Okay, today's the right one.
Okay.
Right? Today's the lifted
pastoral
one.
Passover.
Okay.
Number four.
FF.
We did faith, we did freedom, we did faith, we did covenant. Today we're doing the season.
Thank you. Season?
Tis the season to celebrate.
Oi.
The Jewish season. Yud Aleph Nissan, Tavshin Amud Aleph. The year would correspond to 1971. Was it Aleph Nissan, and the Rebbe addresses a letter to Bnei Beis Yisrael, B'chol Malkim Shehem, sons and daughters of Israel, anywhere they may be. Hashem Aleim Yichyu Shalom B'bracha. Peace and blessing. Ki Yadua, as is well known, K'shurim HaChagim Be'ineis Mesuyomim Bashana. Our Jewish festivals are linked to specific seasons. Chag HaPesach, Chayiv Lihiyeis B'chedesh Aviv. The festival of Passover must always be in the month of spring, the time of spring. Chag HaShavuos, the festival in which we arguably celebrate the receiving of the Torah, also has a seasonal element, and that is B'Ktzir HaChitim, at the time when the wheat is cut. V'Nikra, and interestingly, it's not just at that time, but it's called B'Shem Chag HaKotzer. It's called the festival of harvest or cutting. Chag HaSukkos, the third of the three biblical festivals, is connected, kosher be'inas osif, connected to the time of the ingathering, when you bring it all home. Hatavua v'hapedes, this refers both to grain as well as fruits, v'nikra b'shem chag ha'osif. This time when the produce is brought home is called the time of gathering. So now we have it, three biblical festivals, three seasons, agriculturally based actually. Weather / agricultural. The weather of Eretz Yisrael and the agriculture of the Holy Land. B'miyuchad mudgesh b'teira, there's a special emphasis though. Although all of the festivals have a connection to the seasons, there's a special emphasis between Chag HaPesach and Aviv, between Pesach and spring. As it says in the Torah, Shomer eschedesh ha'aviv, you have to watch carefully or keep this season, month, if you want to be literal, of spring. V'asisa Pesach la'Hashem aleikecha. And you have to make a Korban Pesach for the Lord your God. Now, is the emphasis here on Shomer. And interestingly enough, according to many of the Moini HaMitzvahs, according to many of those who enumerate the specifics of the 613 mitzvahs, Shomer is Chodesh Aviv, keep the spring, keep it in spring, is a mitzvah in and of itself. Besides the mitzvah of observing Pesach, there's a mitzvah to make sure that that celebration ends up specifically in the spring. Of course, this is the time where we add an additional month to create the corollary between our solar calendar and the lunar calendar. We go by a lunar calendar, but we need to be seasonal. And the problem, of course, is you're missing 11 and a half plus days. And if you miss 11 and a half days a year, after three years, you're a month off. Plus 4 years, you do the math. That's why you hear of other societies and civilizations or faith systems that have other calendars, and their holidays always seem to be moving. Right? Ramadan always seems to be at another time because the Muslims have specifically a lunar calendar. So it's on all different seasons. The Chinese calendar, it's only lunar. And so they always hear about the Chinese New Year. It always seems to be a different time. It is always a different time. It keeps moving 11 and a half, 12 days on an annual basis. But when it comes to we, the Jewish people, Hashem says we're Meinin Lilavana, we're Daimin Lilavana, we count by the moon, we're metaphorized as and likened to the moon, but it's got to be seasonal. And the only way for it to be seasonal is every couple of years, you have to add an additional month. Can't add days, can't add hours, can't add weeks, it can only be months. And when do we add that additional month? Always at the end of the months, from the 12th month, which is Adar, we go into Adar Hasheni, like we had this year, which is the 13th month, and then we can have Pesach in Chodesh Aviv. So the Torah, when it speaks about the seasonal nature of the observance of the festivals, it introduces it with an emphasis on the holiday of Pesach. So we see that Pesach and spring have a special link. And the Rebbe points out that there is, between Pesach and Chodesh Aviv, Kavei Oifei Zehim, there is common denominators, similar lines of definition. Bein Hashar, amongst other things, Chag HaPesach Hu Rosh L'Regalim, the festival of Pesach is called the header for the Jewish festivals. It's the first of the festivals. Rasheim shel shara chagim. We start with Pesach, then we go to Shavuot, we conclude the three festivals with Sukkot. So why is this? Yes, it all came. Not only, we'll get to why in a second, not only is Pesach called the beginning of all the festivals, but even more so, Zman Matan Torah Seinu, the time in which the Torah was given to us, Chag HaShavuos, Mahava Hemshech V'Siyum Chag HaPesach. Actually, it is the continuation of Pesach. On Pesach we went out of Mitzrayim. And then 7 weeks after going out of Mitzrayim, we reached the ultimate fruition and purpose, which was when we received the Torah. Because when God told Moshe Rabbeinu, the Jewish people go out of Mitzrayim, he said to him, Moshe said, what is the point? Why are we going out of Mitzrayim? And God said to him, that when you leave Mitzrayim, b'hitziyecha sa'am mi Mitzrayim, when you'll take the nation out of Egypt, what will happen? Tavdun es ha'olikim ala harazeh, you'll serve God on this mountain. In other words, God told Moshe to begin with that the plan was to leave Egypt and receive the Torah. Never once did Moses say, let my people go free. That's what Charlton Heston said. Moses said, Shalach ami v'yavduni, send my people forth, and they will serve me. What was he referring to? What was the service here? The service was the receiving, the acceptance of the Torah. So we see that really and truly, Pesach is not only technically Rosh L'Regalim, the beginning of the festivals, but the festivals follow in succession to what Pesach is. We have Pesach, the Yetziyah Mimitzayim, the Exodus, the spiritual liberation of the Jewish people, as well as the material, physical liberation of the Jewish people, so that we might be at Mount Sinai and receive the Torah. And even in a very literal way, the festival of Shavuot doesn't have a specific day of the month in which it has to be celebrated. It's always celebrated 49 days after Pesach. So depending on when Pesach will be, or how many days will be in Adar, that's which day of the month, or how many days are in Nisan, or how many days are in Iyar, that's which day of the month we'll have Shavuot in. Now, it's true that ever since Hillel HaKotan put the calendar into motion some 17 centuries ago, that ultimately we always have Shavuot on the same day because the months are exact. And it's always going to be 30 days in Nisan and 29 days in Iyar, and Nisan always arrives as it arrives. And so because of all this, it's true the 6th of Sivan ends up being the festival of Shavuot on an annual basis. But in theory, as it explains the Shulchan Aruch, Shavuot could be on the 5th day of Sivan, or Shavuot could be on the 7th day of Sivan. In which case, we end up with the understanding that Shavuot simply follows Pesach. It's created, the conditions of Pesach create, ultimately, the conditions of Shavuot. The Ilu, Chag HaSukkot, let's talk about the third festival. That's because of Basukot Hoshavti es Bnei Yisrael. It's not because of a particular event or a specific day. It's because of a general notion that when the Jewish people left the land of Egypt, they were protected, shielded by the Almighty in the desert, in the end, for 40 years. So Beitzii Oysam Eretz Mitzrayim, taking them out of Egypt, it was all about Hashem's protection when we left Egypt. And the festival that celebrates our leaving Egypt is the Chag, the Yom Tov of Pesach. So we see that the Yom Tov of Pesach is specifically linked, and it is the cause, the ultimate cause, for the reason or conditions for which we celebrate the festival of Sukkot. So the Rebbe says, so that's all these things are in Pesach. Pesach is kind of what catalyzes the whole year. All these things follow after Pesach. Well, guess what? Kach gam chedesh aviv. So it also is with the season of spring, which is Rishon L'Chol HaChadashim. This is the beginning of time all over again. This is the Zman HaLivlu V'HaPricha. This is the time when everything blossoms. This is the time when everything goes green. This is the time when new, fresh growth is stimulated. So everything, all the vegetation dies, and it starts all over again. When? In the spring. So it's perfectly natural that the spring has the new beginning. And as spring having a new beginning, it follows Pesach. Pesach is the beginning, the first blossoming of our seasonal calendar on a spiritual or ritualistic sense. And spring is the beginning of the fresh blossoms, life that teems on earth, if you will, coming back to life and beginning to blossom and green and be green and so on and so forth. So there is a link then between the season of spring and Pesach. Okay, so what does that mean? So what? So what if Pesach comes in the spring, and so what if Pesach is a time of fresh growth and flowers blooming and things blossoming? So what? So the Rebbe now takes this in a direction and suggests, first of all, let's take a look at what this means on a literal level. What happens when it comes to spring? What happened on Pesach? And then we draw a lesson for us. So the first thing is, he says, there is a mashmois amuka yeser. There is a deeper meaning. There's deeper content and intimation on with regard to the connection between Pesach and the season of spring. And that is, Chag HaPesach, Huzman Chedosenu. Time of Pesach is the time of our liberation, our freedom. And when we experience that freedom, when we experienced that new season of fresh growth, it was Me'avdus L'cheirus. It wasn't something we slowly evolved into. We used to be a slave people. Then we were downtrodden people, but we were no longer being beaten and the conditions were better. Slowly the conditions improved. And after a couple of years, not only the conditions improved, we actually got a day off. And then after getting a day off, we got 2 days off. And then we became the own masters of our own self-determination. We could define our own future. And we decided when we would be slaves or wouldn't be slaves. And then eventually, slowly but surely, till it came to the point, we declared independence, and then we created a nation called Israel. No, that's not what happened. What happened was we went from one extreme to the next in the blink of an eye. We went from Avdus, from being a downtrodden, slave-like nation, to a Darga, from Darga HaNechusa B'Yeser, Shal Avdus, El Darga Hasi Shal Chedes, from the lowest level of slavery, the lowest level of bondage, the lowest level of missing, if you will, anything that's required for freedom, for independence, missing all of those characteristics, and then overnight, we became the highest level of a free people. The way we call it in the Haggadah, in the blessing that we recite toward the ends of the telling and the thanking, we say, U'me'afeila la'er gadol. Using the verbiage that the Mishnah provides us with, we say, from great darkness to amazing light, to great light. Mechayshech kov, from a heavy darkness to a great light. So this is what happened. Pesach was a big, big shift, a massive seasonal shift, where we go from one extreme to the other. Well, guess what? If you think about it, the same exact shift takes place within the frame of the seasons. Kasher ha'adama mis'oireres miterdemes cheref amuka, when the ground seems to stir from its deep slumber of the winter, and it really seems very, very quickly, spring arrives quickly, when it finally arrives, you see that the earth or the agriculture is mishtachreres mikavle ha'cheref, from the heavy chains of winter, which the frigid temperatures and its limitation, and all of a sudden, almost overnight, you see things begin to blossom. You see all of a sudden a greenery be restored to the environment. Everything changes. Suddenly the shibola maschilis leismali, suddenly the stalks are growing and they begin to be full with produce. And this goes down even into the fact that the seed, when it's planted in the ground, it spoils, and there's nothing left of it. And that seed that's spoiled, nice fine bulbs, complete, you know, intact bulbs, they go in the ground, they spoil, there's nothing left of them, and then all of a sudden, fresh growth ensues. There's tvuah chadasha. There's a fresh, verdant sight that meets your eyes. There's everything is full of life again. And the Rebbe says, really, if you think about it, in the most literal way, Pesach and Aviv, both the Yom Tov of Passover and what Pesach celebrates, and both the idea, the season of spring, is not a shinu dargasi. It's not a slow process. It's not something which goes from level to level. But rather, we know from shlav l'shlav, from one step to the next. Ki im shini kitzayni. This represents a paradigm shift. L'loy kol yachas. There's almost no comparison. It's a shini yayetze b'ri chadasha. It's the kind of change that creates what seems to us to be entirely novel and new circumstances. So, what's the difference between deep winter and not such deep winter? What's the difference between January and February? An extra inch of snow. It's not so much of a difference. You don't see a difference. There's not really a shift. And what about from February to March? Not so much of a difference. So you can go through months without much of a difference. Slow changes, the precipitation increases, the temperature drops, slow changes. It's not like a massive paradigm shift. But every spring, we do experience a paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. Now, it's true, it's the other way also. Winter always hits us. It was kind of nice, things were kind of looking okay, and then boom, the first snowfall hits. But we're not talking about that now. Now we're talking about spring. Because winter hitting us is where everything gets deadened. You even have animals that go to sleep then. And you certainly have all vegetation that just withers, and if you get, it freezes, and it's, you don't see any life. But the world stirs to life. Earth comes back to life, and this happens on an annual basis, and it's not a slow process. Spring comes in with a major, like the wind of spring blows in, and almost overnight, the world, our world has changed. And the same thing happens with Pesach. So the Rebbe now seeks to draw a lesson in Avodas Hashem from this. We know that everything that happens, especially if it's in Torah, then it becomes a teaching for us, especially when it's connected to a Yom Tov. So what is the lesson of all this? What is the lesson that Pesach and spring have these paradigm shifts and seasonal changes? What is the Hirah? What's the lesson we can learn from this, from Chag HaPesach, especially insofar as Chag HaPesach is connected to Chodesh Aviv in a way that's relevant and resonates for every single member of Am Yisrael in our daily lives, gender irregardless, age irregardless, position irregardless, what can we all learn in our daily lives? So the Rebbe says like this, Chaye HaAdam, the life of a person, as a rule, is lived in two dimensions. We have Chayim HaIshim, we have our own personal life, and then we have Hashpa Ba'ilam, our circle of influence. You, if you wish, you can call it social interaction, but from a Torah perspective, it means the people that were supposed to make a difference in their lives. Every one of us lives within a frame. We do not live in independence. We don't live on our own. So whether it's the milkman, the mailman, the plumber and the sanitation crew, everybody has a contribution, and everybody does for others, and everybody also lives on their own. We have a society that's symbiotic, where different people provide different services, different people do different things, and of course, this has to be translated into the spiritual realm as well, in a sense of goodness, in a sense of doing for others, in a sense of caring for others, and then there's our own personal self-development, and that's how people function. And the truth is that both of these levels function within two different frames. There's Chaim Ruchnim and there's Chaim Gashmim. There's a spiritual side of a person's life, and then there is the literal side of a person's life. You could call this the biology side, the technical side, the food we eat, the shelter we crave or seek, and the ability to simply function. Whatever people need. They need air, they need sleep, they need nourishment. Basic needs. If it's too cold, you'll freeze to death. You need clothing. You need to have a roof over your head. And then you can live and function like a normal person. But then there's the spiritual side of a person. Then there's the other needs we have. The need we have to live meaningfully. The need that we have as human beings to make a contribution. What Viktor Frankl would call meaning. Self-actualization, as Maslow would call it. But this we found, you found out, is as important, in fact, perhaps even more important than the biological needs. Self-actualization is not a cherry on the top. Doing things which are meaningful, living meaningfully, is actually a source for life itself. Tafkid shel Yehudi, the purpose of a Yid, is lahoitzi es kol hanimtza b'misharim ha'amurim, to take all of these things, all of these elements, be they the spiritual or the material, be they the personal or the communal, to take them from avdus, to take them from a state of bondage or slavery, which the Rebbe says in the parentheses means mitzarim and hagbalos shalahem, its limitations, and everything has its limitations, and often those limitations are constricting, to take that into a state of chedus, to take that into a state of openness, into a state of freedom. And that happens al yedei haramasam l'ruchnias yaseh, by raising them to a higher spiritual vantage point. Ad kedei avodas Hashem, to the point that we can seek and actually successfully discover a way to serve Hashem really in everything. We're not talking about the parts of life that you're in control of. There are certain things you can control. You can control the words you use. You can control the interactions you have. You can control the positivity or negativity that you look at life with. You can control those things. That's a decision you make. You can be morose and miserable and complain about everything, or you can be grateful and have an attitude of gratitude all the time and decide to live a life in which you celebrate and appreciate all the good things you have. Those are choices you make. But then there are things we can't choose. We can't make choices about certain things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara isanu kach. God created us in a certain way. So for example, we're always going to require food and drink. You can't say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of eating and drinking. I'm done. It's a waste of time. It's costing too much money. For the next few months, I'm stopping to eat and drink. That will not go very well. Some people have tried that. They're not lived to tell the tale. Right? You can't change those things. That's a basic need. So what could you do? You can change how you eat and drink. That you could change. You can't change the circumstances entirely, but you can change the variables. And for example, olav lashon oisam, gam oisam. You can change those things too. And the shini would be a shini muhusi. It can be really what they would call a paradigm shift. For example, hu oichal kedei sheyuchal la'asas tev. Imagine a person eats. Why am I eating? Well, because I love food, because I want to enjoy life. No, I'm eating because I want to do good things. In order to do good things, I have to be healthy. And in order to be healthy, I have to eat in a normative way. So, for example, lul mitzvah, I'm eating so they have the strength to study Torah, l'kayim mitzvahs, to perform mitzvahs, k'dei sheyil l'kayach l'avodas Hashem, so that the person might have wherewithal and ability to serve Hashem. Yes, it all came, even more so. Not only is the food a means to an end, not only is it through consumption of edibles that I will do good things once I receive a fresh infusion of energy, but even the consumption itself becomes Avodas Hashem. How does it become an Avodas Hashem? How does it become an act of homage, love, loyalty, and dedication and commitment to God? Very simple. You make a bracha before you eat. So you're mindful of God and the bounty He has given us before we eat the food. And then I thank Hashem for the food afterwards. So in doing so, that's an act of service. That's an act of devotion. I said please before, I said thank you after. I was mindful. I used my food as a platform in which I was able to express my devotion, my commitment to the Creator of heaven and earth. So it became an act of Avodas Hashem. And the Rebbe says that means to liberate. A person can become liberated. You could be a slave to your food, where your food dictates how you function, where a person only eats that which is sweet and enjoyable, even when it's unhealthy and harms them. And a person's whole life revolves around where my next meal comes from and what it's going to look like. And a person becomes essentially enslaved to the concept of food. That becomes his master. Or a person could say, food is not going to define me. Yes, I have to be somewhat defined by food, because if I don't eat, I won't live, but I'm not going to become a slave to the refrigerator. I'll eat at the times when I decide I should eat, not when my stomach decides that it craves. I'll eat what I want to eat based on rhyme and reason and logic of what's healthy and what will be wholesome for me. And I'm going to do so with Hashem in mind. So I took a situation that essentially every one of us is enslaved to. We're all stuck within the strictures of having to eat. And I've decided to make that, or to choreograph and define that in a way of Avodas Hashem. So you took it from Avdus to Chayrus. Things can constrict and control us, or instead, we can get control over them, even if we can't change them altogether. So if you're a Baal Lashon Hara, you love to speak gossip, or you're a person who loves to be biting and to bring others down, and you make a decision to stop doing that and only to say positive things. And if you have nothing nice to say, just don't say it. Then that's something you can change altogether. You don't have to be mean-spirited. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be that kind of person. You don't have to be. Nowhere in the Torah or nowhere in the books of science does it say that you need to give at least 5 sour things to other people on a daily basis to be able to survive. You know, an argument today keeps the doctor away is total baloney. It's not true. You don't have to. So there are things about life you could change. See, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to free myself. That negative behavior becomes a vortex. It sucks me in. I'm going to put the brakes on to begin with. I'm stopping that behavior. Welcome to Pesach. That's Pesach. I'm going to free myself of certain things. But the Rebbe says, even things that I can't free myself of entirely, and he picks food because, you know, food makes the world go round. You could change that too. You can free yourself of the limitations, the taskmaster element of the food. You could decide to call the shots. And doima hamatzav b'kesher l'chodesh ha'aviv. This can and should be done in a way which is seasonal, a reflection of the season. L'chaira ein ha'adam mesugo lasas davar b'inyazeh. When it comes to seasons, can you do anything about the season? Can people change the seasons?
We try.
We try all kinds of things. No matter how many movies people will make about all the seasons changing, the seasons still haven't changed. Supposedly, the seasons were supposed to have changed 15 years ago. Even that didn't work. It's not true. They didn't change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kava chukes shemayim v'aretz. God said that he established seasons. It's God's idea. It has to do with the rotation of earth, the orbits, the sun, the moon, the planets. That's the way it is. The world is a seasonal place. Yes, down under, they get a different season. Whether it's in Argentina or in Brazil or in Australia, they have different seasons than us, but it's the same four seasons. They're just down under. Mirror image. And the point then is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who established these seasons, Chukas Shemayim Va'aretz, Va'omer, and Hashem said, Oid kol yamei haaretz. As long as there'll be an earth, there'll be kor v'chaim v'kayetz v'chayref. There'll be the hot season, hot dry season. There'll be the wet cold season. There'll be the summer. There'll be the winter. Leish b'isu. These things are not going to change. Va'yehudi shomer u'mitzapa l'chodesh aviv, and a yid waits for spring. He doesn't just say, you know what? I think I'm ready for spring now. I had enough of this Canadian winter. It snowed 16 times already. That's it. Let's schedule spring tomorrow. Even the prime minister candidate. Nobody could change it. Spring will come when spring will come. However, the fact that a yid is anticipating spring, and he does so amanas lasis be pesach l'ashem alikecha, in order to bring a carbon pesach, to celebrate pesach, who maven, he understands, and no, not only he understands, who roya, he sees, sheha aviv, who mechukas habeda shalayish besu, that the seasons won't change, that the seasons come from a higher and different place. However, in the midst of all of that notion of seasons being legislated from a higher place, and that's coupled with the idea of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is also not something we decided to do. Okay, we had enough of slavery. Let's go free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who decided to do that. So this represents the greatest miracle and the greatest paradigm shift. And you see, it represents going from one extreme to the next. But this then is the point. All the time in life, we encounter things. Whether you encounter seasons, or whether you encounter the concept of miraculous changes, we encounter things in our life. Nitka la'adam advarim mahavim mitzarim. We're also going to encounter things which will limit and constrict us. We will encounter these things. There will be things that will inhibit us. And there will be in a way of mitzarim u'gvulis. They'll come in a way of constrictions and borders. They'll be magbilim u'mafriim liyehudi. It'll stop and impede. It'll get in the way of a yid's development of his Yiddishkeit as a Torah Jew. And you're not going to be able to call the shots or make the circumstances change. However, what we could do is to free ourselves of those circumstances. Can't change the circumstances, you can decide how the circumstances should define you. And the Rebbe suggests that has to be done in a very, very swift way. You don't have to slowly change. You can come to the decision that I'm no longer going to follow this path, in the same way that spring is a change of season, in the same way that Pesach represented Avdos L'Cheiros, going out of slavery into freedom, from Afela to Ergodol. This is the clear Heira Brura that Chag HaPesach brings us. That Yetzias Mitzrayim shows us we can experience paradigm shifts. We can go from one extreme to the other. We can do this. And in fact, we're expected to do it. That a Yid could be stuck as a slave to the worst kind of, the lowest level of idolatry. And furthermore, the Yidden themselves were caught up in the same form of idolatry. And then, overnight, they freed themselves. To the point that 7 days later, they experienced revelation of divinity that they were able to point the finger at and said, Zekeli. It didn't take a long time. It wasn't a matter of years. It was really almost in the blink of an eye.
But there were changes. There were
miraculous changes.
There were miraculous changes. This is true. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us strength that this should happen. But the point is, if we're trying to make, we're to animate and activate Pesach in our lives, we have to follow that same paradigm. We have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the ability and we can make major changes in life. It's like the smoker who doesn't stop smoking slowly. How does he stop?
Abruptly.
Just abruptly, cold turkey. Just stop smoking. You can stop these things. In fact, that's the lesson of Pesach. Just like there are seasonal changes which are abrupt, a major shift, we can experience a major shift. And in our lives, the proper celebration of Pesach means to take a careful look at how life is going. I can't change the circumstances. I can choose how I'm going to live. And to live a Pesach life means, or to internalize the message of Pesach, is to decide that we're going to make certain changes. And to implement those changes. And to free yourself of things that inhibit, shackle, and constrain you. And in doing so, to experience the kind of freedom and elevation and liberation that Pesach represents. And that concludes the letter by talking about the mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. And that when we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim means to activate the spirit of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that this hastens the coming of Mashiach, in which time we will experience the miracles and the wonders of liberation all over again, as it is written, Ki Meitzeischa Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Arenu Neflois, and that will happen with the coming of Mashiach speedily and in our days. Amen.